I'd like to thank you all for being here today. I don't know everybody that's here, but I'm glad to see any visitors that we have. And it's a wonderful privilege to be able to stand here. Our brother Wade was going to give out the gospel. He's a wonderful gospel preacher. In fact, he moves me every time I hear him, and I'm saved by the grace of God. Our brother Neil Dougal was the first one I ever heard in this building, and I remember my first visit to this place. I sat way in the way back, and I didn't know what kind of place it was. I had already been saved, but I was away from the Lord for 5 years. 5 years. I didn't run away from God. I was saved in the Air Force, and I got out, and I had no Christian fellowship at all. And I must tell you that I missed you dearly, even last Lord's Day when I wasn't here on vacation. I was coming back from vacation, and I wasn't able to be here. And I must tell you that I missed each and every one of you. And while I'm at it, I want to thank you for your prayers. I had a visit with a doctor. He was a urologist. And of course, some of the men here understand what it means to have an examination by a urologist. And he did everything he could. And I saw a lot of it on the screen. And I was conscious and I could see it. And he left the room for a few minutes, and when he came back, he was quite agitated. And he said he was completely different. He was an older man, and I could see right away that he had no good news. But by the grace of God and your prayers, I don't discount prayer at all. He said, "You're going on vacation." He says, "Go and have a good time. But I need to see you, and I need to schedule you for a CAT scan before you go." And so I went to the CAT scan, which is not a big deal at all, as you know. And so I must tell you that I had a peace about this. The examination itself was not pleasant. And what was coming might be much more unpleasant. But it's a wonderful thing. I wasn't worried about it at all. I went on vacation. I had a wonderful time. And my doctor called. Was it Monday or Tuesday? Early in the week. And the doctor said, "Well, it's not cancer." They said, the doctor said, "It's either cancer or something much more simple." So let me tell you, God's Son is merciful to those that will avail themselves of his mercy. If you shun the mercy of God, God will ultimately shun you. You'll end up in a lost eternity. And I'm going to give out the gospel now. But I thank you for your prayers. I'm not out of the woods yet, but everything so far is going to be minor ahead of me. But thank you for your prayers, and continue to pray for me. And I appreciate it, and I pray for you. Thank you. Our brother Neil gave out the gospel here once, and I knew that this was a good place. And I waited. And it surely is a good place. It's a good place to hear the gospel. And I'll give the gospel now, because I don't know everybody here. And some of the ones I know may not be saved. They may just be professing Christians, not possessing Christians. So let's let the scripture do the work. I can say anything. Hopefully it'll be in accordance with God's word and his will. But God's word speaks for itself. Turn in the Bible, please, to Luke's gospel. And for the sake of convenience and simplicity and time, I would like to just stay in the Gospel of Luke. Now, you must consider the grace of God before we start reading. Do you know what the grace of God is? Do you know what it is? The grace of God, if you're alive, you have the grace of God. It may not be a saving grace, but it is a preserving grace until you are saved. And God gives grace to everyone that reaches the age of accountability. And that grace is so that you will hear the gospel and act on it. Do something about it. That is why the gospel is preached. That's what the name is on the sign out there, Bethany Gospel Chapel. And many have come to faith in Christ through the gospel outreach and other testimonies, even in this place, but it's not just, we don't own the gospel. The gospel is a privilege to preach. In fact, that's why Christians are still here and they're not in heaven. They live with you. They eat the same food. They breathe the same air. They sometimes have the same sicknesses. Why is that? Because that's how you get saved. You get saved by hearing the gospel from other people. God does not give the gospel for angels to give to you. There's places in the Bible where God has commanded individuals who were told by angels. Peter comes to mind in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius and so on. To give the gospel to people. It's people to people giving the gospel. That's how I got saved. I couldn't believe it. I was under conviction of sin. I was raised religious, but lost. And I had no idea that I could be saved. I thought, I'm going to go to hell. That's a terrible thought to have for a long time. Terrible thought to have for any time. But God in His grace saved me. I'm saved and I know it. I know it. I know whom I have believed. And that's why this illness that I've had, I've got everything my dad had, and he died from it. That's how he died. I've got everything he had. And is my faith shaken? No. No, I know where I'm going. I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, whether I die today or years from now, it doesn't matter. I know where I'm going. Let's read. The Lord Jesus is speaking in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. The Lord Jesus had a lot to say. If you have a red letter Bible, you can skim the pages and see, oh my, look at all he said. I wish he had said more. But God has given us enough. And I treasure every word that the Lord Jesus Christ said. Because you must understand who he is. There never was a man like the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked like everybody else. When his betrayer identified him in the Garden of Gethsemane to have him crucified, he had to mark him out. The one that I shall embrace, the one that I shall kiss, like the Frenchmen do, they kiss on both cheeks. The one that I shall kiss, he's the one. He didn't have a halo around his head. He was a real man. He had a beard. Didn't have long hair. I don't know if you've seen any of those so-called pictures of the Lord Jesus. Those are artists' imaginations. He had short hair, but he had a beard because they plucked the beard from his face at his trial. He was a real man. Hard working, a real man. Look what he says in verse 46 of Luke chapter 6 and 46. The Lord Jesus is speaking and he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? When you're saved, you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord. You do what he says. You're under new management. You're not your boss anymore. All you ever did was get yourself into sin and all kinds of other troubles. That's the way of the world. Nobody's any better than that. We're going to read a little while about somebody that actually went to hell, and we're going to see what happened to him and how he felt after he went to hell. His attitude was adjusted. He needed an attitude adjustment, but it was adjusted too late and in the wrong place. And he had a complete change of mind, but it didn't do him any good. He was in hell, and he's in hell yet. And he never did get that drink of water that he wanted, but we'll read about that. And it says here, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" You know what? I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It may be all right, and it may not be all right. No one ever went to hell that received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord. It is possible to receive Jesus as your Savior and say, "Now he died for my sins. Now I can do whatever I want, and I'll never go to hell." Yes, you will. The Lord Jesus Christ is Lord. That means he's the boss. That means there's no one higher than he. Do you know that God the Father is not higher than the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven? That's what he says. "I and my Father are one." The Lord Jesus said, "My Father is greater than I," because while he was here on the earth, he took the servant's place. And in that sense, that he was, God the Father was higher, greater than I in that sense. But God the Son is equal to God the Father. The Bible teaches that. And here he was, manifested in the flesh, looking just like any other man physically, but he was completely different. He was God manifested in the flesh. He became something when he came to the earth that he never was before. But he never stopped being what he always was. God, the Son. He never stopped. Imagine that. The Bible says, "Great is the mystery." We don't understand it. God doesn't explain it. God was manifested in the flesh. You know, you are going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you are. Whether you're saved or not, you're going to see him. But in the real estate business, they say location, location, location. It's the same thing in the spiritual realm. You're going to see Christ. Oh, yes, you will, whether you're saved or not. But you are going to see him either as your Redeemer, if you're saved, your Savior, or you're going to see him as your Judge. But you will see him. Yes, you will. God says so in the Bible. And I won't have time probably to tell you where to look. If you ask me afterwards, I will be happy to tell you and show you. And you can read it for yourself. But let's get back to our passage. In verse 47, it says, "Whosoever cometh to me," Jesus said, our Lord, "and hears my sayings and doeth them," remember, if you were either in jail or in the military, you learn to do what you're told. And if you don't, there are consequences. And you do it. The Lord Jesus Christ is commander in chief. He's not just your Savior. When you trust him as your Lord, you say, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know you died for my sins. Now I'm yours. Do with me what you will." Most people are afraid to do that. They won't do it. Except when they understand through the Holy Spirit of God the conviction of sin. And if I don't do it, if I don't own the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to go to hell, just like he says. You know, some people say that not everyone can be saved. Some people say that. That's not true. God has put into every human heart a sense of self-preservation. When I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, I did not love him. I did not love God. I loved my sins, and I was ashamed of them, but I still loved them, I still did them. But I knew that it would send me to hell, because God hates sin. He loves the sinner, but hates sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in another part in John's Gospel, he said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. Now, that's a hard case. Some people have the mistaken impression of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's humble and meek. He had a halo and he walked around with his hands folded. No, sir. That's not God either. And that's not a real Christian either. Christians don't do that. They're real, more real than we are. And God has declared it. If you die in your sins where I am, you cannot come. We're going to see about a man who died in his sins in a moment. And the Lord Jesus said, I will show you to whom he is like. You hear his sayings and you do them. That means you've submitted yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because out of a sense of self-preservation, which we all have, you don't want to go to hell. Hell is real. I wasn't interested in going to heaven. I didn't have any attraction to heaven. I didn't want to go to hell. That's why I got saved. And I'll tell you, after I got saved, I didn't think God would save me until I got saved. And I saw it in God's word, how he will save sinners. If you just come to him, you don't have to turn over a new leaf. That's his job, by giving you new life. I don't have a new leaf. I've got a new life. You're born again. And you're going to love the things that God loves. Just like my little children, when they were little, they learned to love the things I loved. As far as food was concerned, as far as activities were concerned, they did them and they loved them. They were my children. You will love God after you're saved, even if you don't love God now. Even if you're just here because somebody asked you to come, that's fine. That's great. We're glad you're here. But I have to tell you, if you're not saved, you will die in your sins if you die that way. But if you come to Christ, you'll be saved. And you'll start to love God. Because you'll be a new person in Christ Jesus. That's what the new birth is. You're a new person in Christ Jesus. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's a new life. Let's read on. The Lord said, the one that obeys him and does his commandments, he is like a man who built a house and dug deep and laid his foundation on a rock. That rock is Christ, by the way. And when a flood came, that's what happened to me. I didn't have a nervous breakdown when they thought I might have cancer. I wasn't even worried about it. And I know what cancer is. I've seen people die from it, and it's not good, as you know. But I wasn't worried about it. So much for being a wimp. I wasn't a wimp. I'm saved. Now, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But here's someone who's not saved. But he that heareth and doeth not, you hear the word of God, you hear the gospel, but you don't do it, is like a man that without a foundation, no Christ, built a house upon the earth. Are you earthy? Am I earthy? Yes. There's something about this earth that it's attractive to me. I enjoy the foliage. I enjoy all kinds of things that the unsaved enjoy, as long as it's wholesome. If it's sin, I may enjoy it while I'm doing it, but afterwards my spirit is grieved, and it bothers me, and I have no peace until I confess it before the Lord, and I promise never to do it again. But you know what? That's repentance. But you know what? I have to be on my guard because I'm still a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Now, if you are a Christian that falls, there is a remedy for that. You come back to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess your sin. And if we confess our sins, the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And as we grow and feed ourselves upon God's word and pray and ask for God's help, we get stronger and we're less likely to sin. Now confess your sins and repent. Try not to do it again and cast yourself on the strength of our Lord. Do you know that there's times when it is impossible for me to sin? Only in times. Let me explain that. The Bible says if we walk in the Spirit of God, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's in Galatians. That's God's promise. How do I sin then? It's because I forget and I'm not refreshing myself and strengthening myself in God's word. That's why Christians sin. He's able to keep you, but you have a free will, and God allows that for you to have. And you decide. You don't have to sin if you're a Christian. If you're not saved, you can't do anything but sin. The Bible says even the plowing a field, even the plowing of the wicked is sin. If you're in rebellion against the Lord Jesus Christ and will not receive him as your Lord and your Savior, you're in rebellion. And all the good works that you do will not help you. And God will take no notice of them as far as salvation is concerned. You'll get a cooler spot in hell and in the lake of fire, and that's it. You'll be judged according to your works. But you'll still be in the lake of fire and in hell. I would be unfaithful if I didn't warn you about this. Here's what the Lord Jesus said. Against the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Turn, please, now, as promised, to Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. You wonder what hell is like? It's interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ never told you what hell is like, except maybe here and in other places where the worm dieth not, in the different gospels. He spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. And he gives a very lurid description here. And it's really a sad story. Let's read. In verse 19 of chapter 16 of Luke, the Lord Jesus said, there was a certain rich man, no sin there, not a sin to be rich, who was clothed in purple and fine linen. He dressed well and fared sumptuously every day. He ate well. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, in verse 20, who was laid at the rich man's gate full of sores. His friends brought him there in the hopes that the rich man would see him and have pity on him. Apparently not. The rich man knew who he was, but apparently he would just step over him and go into his house. And it says in verse 21, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, dogs are unclean animals. Everyone knows that. Dogs do things. If you own dogs, you know that they're going to do doggy things. And sometimes they're pretty gross. So the Lord here mentions this, showing poor Lazarus in his complete degradation in this world. But it turns out that Lazarus was a saved man. Did you ever wonder why sometimes saved people go through terrible things. If you're unsaved and you see a Christian going through terrible times, you might say, well, I don't want that to happen to me. It's because he's a Christian, so you're prejudiced. Prejudice is a lie. You make snap judgments on people because of what happens to them or what they look like. That's not right. Look what it says here. The dogs came and licked his sores. In verse 22, the Lord Jesus gets right to the point. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's an expression that denotes paradise. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, or hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Now it's conscious suffering. Conscious suffering. He is able to lift up his eyes. His body was in the grave, and his soul and spirit were in Hades. But the Bible talks about him as though he had a body, because he was in torments, and he was thirsty. How does a soul and a spirit who doesn't have a body, how can he be thirsty? A dead man is a dead man. But the Lord Jesus is speaking about his torment. And look what it says. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now how did this man know that that was Abraham? They had no photo IDs. They had no pictures. And Abraham lived hundreds and hundreds of years before this rich man did. He knew that was Abraham, and he remembered Lazarus, who used to lay at his gate. He recognized them. In eternity, you will recognize people. You will know, of course, the Lord Jesus on sight. There'll be no one like him. You'll recognize him. But you will recognize other people as well. You'll know each other in heaven, and you'll know each other in hell if you see anybody in hell. But I think hell is a big place, and there's no fellowship in hell. I used to think that there was no love in hell, and I'm wrong. Let's read on. People say, there's no love in hell. Yes, there is, and I'll prove it. Let's keep reading. Verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Lazarus wanted crumbs. This man wanted a drop of water. He never got it. He still wants that drop of water, and he still is not going to get it. Let's read on. Verse 25, and Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Yes, evil does happen to Christians. Bad things are going to happen to God's people, but that doesn't stop them from trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. God had a purpose in the suffering of Lazarus. How many people, for instance, have been won to Christ by reading this passage and saying there's a reward for those who trust Christ, even if their sufferings are here on the earth? There's a reward in heaven, and there's no suffering in heaven. And those who die outside of Christ, there is punishment and judgment. I wonder how many have been saved over the years through this passage. There's a purpose in all suffering. Before you're saved and you suffer, it is a purpose to break you. Yes, that's right. And make you cry out to God for mercy. If you are saved and you suffer, the Bible says in John chapter 15, God plucks you and prunes you that you might bring forth more fruit. You'll never be any good for God until you are broken. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's in the Bible. There's a reason. All right, let's read on. and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, like a canyon, so that they who would pass from here to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from there. Do you know that that canyon works both ways? In Abraham's bosom, there were people, according to this, that would pass from paradise to have mercy on those that are in hell. That's what it says, that those who would pass from here to you cannot. Did you see that? Abraham's bosom, that side of paradise, do you know that that's empty now, where Abraham had Lazarus in his bosom holding him? That's empty. Those people have gone to heaven. Christ led captivity captive, and he brought them into heaven. They're in heaven right now. But the people on the other side of hell that are being tormented, they're still there. Now, in verse 27, I said earlier that some people think that there's no love in hell. Look at this. First, this man asked for his own self. He was still selfish, didn't get it. Still selfish. I want a drop of water. But now, he knows he's not going to get that drop of water. He still loved his brothers who were still alive on the earth. The people in hell are very gospel-minded. Did you know that? There are Christians who never talk about Christ to unsaved. They're not gospel-minded. This man, dead in trespasses and in sins and in hell, is very gospel-minded. He's there. And he have loved ones back on the earth, still alive. Look what he says. I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, Lazarus, to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Five. That he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. If you have any relatives in hell, and I may have quite a few, as far as I know, I'm the first one to get saved in my family. My relatives don't want to see me in hell. If any of them are there, they don't want to know that I went to hell or any of their other relatives went to hell. I'm not going to go to hell because I'm saved. But that was their second most intense desire. They don't want any company in hell, especially their family. There is love in hell. They still love their unsaved friends and family. I used to think that there was no love in hell. This man still felt love for his brothers and had a concern for their souls. Now let's continue, and I'll finish up. Verse 29, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, no, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. No, they won't. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead? There was no doubt in anybody's mind that Lazarus was really dead. He was dead 4 days and he stank. The Bible says that. And the Lord Jesus made those people roll that stone away from the mouth of the grave. And as they did so, they smelled. And you never forget your sense of smell. Smell brings back memories like nothing else. And they knew that Lazarus was really dead. And what the Lord Jesus did was raise Lazarus by calling him forth. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead arose and became alive. The Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Listen, I've been to funerals where there were a lot of dead people. They weren't saved. I gave them the gospel, but they were still unsaved. Are you troubled about your soul? If you're not, there's nothing I can do. It's up to God to convict you of your sin and to cause you to trust him. Just think of this. Every time I meet another car coming down the freeway or even on a two-lane road, I always wonder, Every time he passes me, I thank God. What's to stop that person from driving right into my car? You ever think of that? I don't want to make anybody paranoid. But did you ever think it was the grace of God every time a car passes you coming the other way? It's the grace of God you're spared. Think about it next time. Everyone here drives or is a passenger in a car. Next time you see a car coming, is this guy going to hit me and kill me? If he passes you, thank God. If he hits you, you're not likely to survive. If he's going 50 miles an hour and you're going 50 miles an hour, that's 100 miles an hour closing speed. And no one survives that, airbags or no. Seatbelts or no. I've seen what happens in a head-on collision. I saw the pool of blood after the body was removed. What's to stop that from happening? Think about it. And have a concern for your soul. It is appointed unto a man once to die, and after this the judgment. If that car passes you, remember it's the grace of God that happened to you just now. Think about it. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he will save anyone that comes to thee through him. For he is the resurrection and the life, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, we thank thee that he is the door. And him that comes to thy Son, he will in no wise turn away. He said so. Father, if any are unsaved or not sure of their salvation, we ask thee to speak to them and to be thankful for the grace that allows them to survive for day to day. But Father, we pray that they will come to thy Son. We thank thee, Father, for all of these things, but most of all for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in that most precious, holy, sacred name. Amen.